don't store up treasures on earth, but store up instead treasures in heaven. And he makes the statement here that you cannot serve both God and money. Next, he says, do not worry. And in this worry, Pastor Brian told us it's a word that's like a paralyzing worry or concern. It's not just I'm concerned for someone, but this is like paralysis. Like it's choking the life out of you, worry. And Jesus tells us here that we're to trust the Father who knows all that we need and daily put our trust in God and not worry. And I needed this one this morning. First of all, I got up this morning, was feeling really just like the day was going to unfold in a way that I just needed to be on my knees. So I'm praying on my knees. Then I start to think, oh, my knees hurt. I'm going to need a knee replacement someday. So my prayer even just turned into something very selfish, kind of thinking about my own knees. So then I get up and have to bring a car this morning. So I get in the car, which is my daughter's car, which was my father-in-law's old car, go to back out of the driveway because Todd's like, is it even going to start for you? It hasn't started in a while. Start the car, go to back up. Two pieces of something important from the car are laying on the ground. So we stop. Todd crawls down, looks a little bit, which the car is very low, gets up and says, well, that was easier, or that used to be easier than it was this morning, just even looking. He's like, just go. So I drove here thinking, well, who knows if the car will get here. First service, my microphone and the sound wasn't working right. You just saw Todd's guitar not working right. It's like, what? So I guess I needed to pray up before I came this morning. So God was reminding me not to worry, and I needed it. Then Jesus kind of shifts in where we have in our Bibles this kind of transition to a chapter 7, which we're going toward home plate now. Chapter 7, Jesus teaches about not judging others. We can often see that speck in someone else's eye that they sort of need to address, and we don't even realize we've got a plank in our own eye. There is always something in our own life that we really need to be looking for and addressing in ourselves before we're prepared to move on and even assist a brother or sister in faith. Jesus then gives the teaching about ask, seek, knock. Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. But the words in the original Greek were ask and keep on asking. Like it's not, you just ask one time. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking and it will be given to you. Then we had a teaching on the narrow gate and the wide gate. This wide gate is very easy to find if you're just kind of herding along in life. The herd's going to take you in through this wide gate very easily, and we need to seek out and search for the narrow gate, which is the one that Jesus points us to, is not as easy to find. And then he teaches about false prophets, and we'll know a prophet that is truly from God by the fruit, is how we'll recognize them in their lives. And as well in our own life, our fruit. And then we come to our passage for this morning. I know our bulletin says that we're looking through 29, but I'm just going to start at chapter 7, verse 24, and go down through 27. Reading from the New International Version, it says, therefore, it's pulling from everything above, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. So Jesus is saying all these things that I've just spoke about in this sermon or this dialogue, this dissertation that we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, all of these things are ways that are teachings for you on ways that you will live when you live your life anchored in me. And if you're going to live by that, not just hearing it with your ears, you're going to found your life on it, and it's going to look different. So these two homes that we're referring to here are similar. That's the implication here, that there's not difference in their construction. It's not like one is made of, you know, like the three pigs, one is made of straw and one is made of bricks. They're the same, similar kind of construction. They're able to go through the storms, and storms are going to come. I mean, Jesus doesn't say if the storms come, he says when they come. And so the only difference is what they're resting on, the foundation of that home. So Jesus is a very practical teacher. And when he taught about salt and light, it was things that the people were very familiar with. Likewise here, the people that lived in Israel, there's a river that runs through Israel called, the land of Israel, the nation, called the Jordan River. And this river in Israel, I understand, I looked, there is a rainy season, which I believe is in the winter, and then it's kind of desert and arid land, so it's pretty dry. So the river can be flowing in one season, but then there's this long period of time that will go by that the water is not rushing through this river in the same way, and so it may look like a fairly decent place with pretty smooth ground that's been smoothed out by the water, and people could build there. And so anyone that would build there on this sandy bank, which might look really beautiful and really nice in the non-rainy season, would be very surprised and in for a shock when they don't have their home founded on anything other than that beautiful sandy beach, and it gets washed away. So these torrents can come. And so Jesus is teaching about something that they could imagine very easily about this rushing water. So, storms in life. Let's face it, we all run into them. We all come upon them. For us, the storms may look different than what Jesus was preparing his people for. For the people of faith, this faith was so radical and so different, and this Jesus was going to be crucified, and he knew he was on his way to the cross even as early as this teaching is taking place in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is preparing them that there's going to be persecution. There's going to be family lines drawn. Some in the family, mom and dad, may not believe that Jesus was Messiah, but you were convicted that he was. And so these families that we can be very close to, our own children may not believe, and you may believe. It's going to be difficult. So Jesus is teaching about those type of storms. But for us, we don't get persecuted for our faith here. I mean, it may look unusual and you may be a little quirky or something. I don't know if you live by your faith and you decide you're not going to go the same road as others are going. But for the most part, the persecution isn't there like they live and would live it. But we may have a storm in life where a loved one passes away, a spouse that we were married to for almost 58 years, or our finances might be really tight. I mean, so tight, and debt is climbing and we don't know how to take care of that. We may lose jobs because companies may close down or reorganize or just not value what we're doing, or, you know, technology may just kind of make some of our jobs that we've always known and done very well a bit obsolete. We may have an injury that prevents us from working. We may have people that abandon us, a parent that didn't stick around or wasn't good to be having around as a role model, and so they're gone, and it's this abandonment feeling. We may have physical abuse or sexual abuse. I mean, our bodies can wear out. We can have need for knee replacements or heart surgeries that need to fix things up, or shoulder replacements. Gary Culp this morning had a shoulder replacement just this last week. I mean, there are storms in life that come along. And just like a house may have a pest, termites or mice or whatever, those carpenter ants or something, like come and sort of gnaw away and destroy that house, unfortunately, we too may face a storm of cancer that eats away at our bodies. And then when the doctor goes to do the repair and take that out, they have to take away good tissue, like to get good margins or something, and go through radiation. I mean, the storms come in our lives as well. And the thing that convicted me about this is that these two homes, both of them could withstand the storm. The house itself was able to go through the storm. Now, it may have been impacted and had some scars that go along with it. We may have dents and dings in the siding of our home, or tree branches could come through glass windows, or some shingles may blow off of the roof. I mean, our bodies, our emotions can bear the scars of these storms that come along. But God is telling us that we can bear those storms and go through them, but the foundation is what makes the difference. So I'm going to start out first by talking about the house on the sand, mainly because I want to just get this kind of bad news out of the way, and then get on to the other ones, the good news. So I don't know if you've ever stood on the shores of the ocean, and the waves kind of come in, and sometimes they come in really nice and gentle, and you think you're standing at a fairly decent spot, getting cooled down because the sun on the beach is reflected off that sand and it's stinking hot. And so the water is feeling all nice, and you might be talking to someone beside you, and then these waves can get a little bigger at times. They're not completely predictable. But when the water rushes in and then it goes back out, it takes some of the sand with it. And unfortunately, it can take that sand that's under your feet in uneven ways. So I found myself, I had forgotten this, because we used to go with the Reams on vacation down to the beach like every year faithfully. That was it. So I had this kind of image about being on the sand in my mind very clearly. But we hadn't gone for a while. It'd been a fairly long time. So earlier this month, I had this reminder that I sort of had to keep moving my feet because I was about to go down. And I don't have normally balance issue. Well, maybe I'm a little klutzy at times, but for the most part, I could stand on normal ground without falling over, and then this water would just take away unevenly the sand under my feet. Now, I didn't go down, but I could keep moving them. But it gave me the impression of how easily that sand can erode and go away. So a house that is resting on that sand, unfortunately, when the winds and the torrents and the ocean is driving and coming in, and hurricanes that we've had over the years, we that live here on this East Coast know that some hurricanes have come up through, and they've taken away and damaged some houses. And this image is of a house that you can see the one side sort of unevenly was taken away. Now, the whole thing, once it went to collapse and under the wind, was in bad shape. But the house fell, as Jesus said, with a great crash. And it fell, just imagine, it could have otherwise stood, but it fell because of the foundation that was under it. It was eroded. The second house, the house that Jesus refers to as a wise builder, is built on the rock. The foundation was intentionally decided to be on something solid and anchored to it really well. The house isn't going to be like in The Wizard of Oz, like flying away off the ground. It's anchored down onto the rock. And the house is going to stay when the exact same circumstances are coming through. And I have to remind myself, and I did remind myself, that it makes the hugest difference how I go through any event, depending on what I'm foundationally resting on at the time. And we built a house about 2 years, approaching 2 years ago now. And the first thing you do is you talk, the first thing that goes in the house, I don't remember talking about it first thing, but it's the foundation. Like they dig the basement, if you're going to have a basement, or whatever's going on, the blocks are laid. And that's exciting. That's the first part that gets started. But in this type of scenario, we have a house that really can be moved. I don't know if you've ever seen a house that's been relocated. It can happen. I know that there was a house going down towards Shady Maple, I believe, on the right side when you come to this, wherever there's an intersection. This house was closer to the road, and because they wanted to put a light in, they shifted the house back. It's pretty amazing. So they would have had to do a new foundation. Well, our lives, like that house, have the potential to be replaced, replanted, re-anchored on the rock. So Jesus is telling us that everyone, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine, he just taught all the things that I rapidly ran through, the Beatitudes, the salt and light, the do unto others as they would do to you, the Lord's Prayer to pray, the not worry discussion, the narrow gate, that we're to ask, we're to seek, we're to knock, and keep on asking, seeking, knocking, to be taking care of the plank in our own eye instead of looking at the speck. Jesus is saying that we need to not only hear that and think, oh, that's really good teaching, Jesus. And boy, the way your voice went up and down, you even bounced on your feet a little bit while you were talking, your arms were waving around. That's all really nice. But no, I don't just hear it. Jesus is saying, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man. That's every single person. So you may still have some scars that you bear from the past storms that have come through your life, some emotional difficulty. But the statement is that if we obey God's word, listen to it, hear his voice, and do it and put it in practice, we are taking steps, building block by building block by building block, to put a foundation under us that is rock solid. And storms are going to come, because they do, they come. But one building block at a time, rock solidly placed under our lives to undergird us, is what will make the difference when the storms come and strike us, because we are not only hearing, but we're doing. We're not only hearing the word of God, but we're doing it. So if I'm worrying, I'm going to go back to the scripture and I'm going to look at it and read it. And I needed this reminder today, not only because of my car, but I have a family member right at this very moment who is in the emergency room, who I would much rather be with that family member in the emergency room than standing here and giving a message. Oh, she's not there anymore. Okay, she's out of there. But anyway, there are circumstances that can pull us in and emotionally get us kind of mentally going, and we can forget that we need to trust in God and be doing the word. I'm going to trust in you, Lord. So as we're coming toward a close here, Jesus is just telling us that he wants us to build our house on the rock. We have access to the word of God in ways that the disciples did not. They would go to synagogue and they would hear the word every week, and that's where they would get the teachings from the Old Testament, which was, they didn't call the Old Testament then, but they would get the teachings from the word and the scripture there. And then they would go out and they'd have to live it. We have access to the scripture all the time. We can pull this out at any moment. We can carry it with us. People have it on their phones and can check it at any time. So we can read it and study it. But God wants us to do more than that. He wants us to live by it, checking the foundation on which we stand regularly so that we are standing on the rock, putting into practice, obeying what the word says. So as I think about this and I think about stability under the feet of our lives instead of houses, I don't like to think of my house in a way that's house-like, I think of Peter who walked on water. There was a storm raging and Jesus comes walking out on the water as if it's just hard ground. And Peter's so impressed by it and just, I think for a second, just so filled with this awe and faith in who Jesus is that he's just like, if that's you, call me right out there. And Jesus says, okay, come on out. And out he goes, sailing across the water, like just like as if it's solid ground. And he's going and going, and then all of a sudden, it's like that wind starts to blow, or his hair goes across his eyes, or something. And all of a sudden, he notices the storm. And that thing that was able to support him and sustain him no longer was able to, because he looked to something else. And that's when he began to sink. He looked to the waves and the ocean and the wind, and he took his eyes off of Jesus, the one who was the rock, the one on which his feet were supported and standing. Jesus is the rock. From Psalm 18, verse 2, it says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, my horn of salvation, my stronghold." 1 Samuel 2:2 says, "There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God." And Psalm 62:6 says, "He alone is my rock and salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken." So the Sermon on the Mount concludes. Next week, we're starting a new sermon series. But Jesus, as he was concluding his words to his disciples, they were going to get up, move from the mountainside, and go on another day to learn to live by his teachings, another day for him to mentor them and show them. But as they were about to leave, Jesus needed them to know that they're not only going to hear what he has to say, they need to do what he says. It ends with instructions for radical submission to the exclusive lordship of Jesus. A wise person builds to withstand anything. The Lord is our rock. Jesus is our rock. How can we put our life, our foundation, on that rock when we've been feeling the waves pull out unevenly and we feel unsteady on our feet? We exercise our faith, pull out that scripture, live in obedience, doing the next one thing as a building block of our faith on which we're resting our lives. And that lifts us so that we're above the torrent that's going to take our feet from under us, and allows us to live standing on the solid rock of Jesus. So as we close, because part of this Sermon on the Mount included the Lord's Prayer, and yes, Todd, if the band wants to come up at this point, part of the Sermon on the Mount includes this teaching of the Lord's Prayer. So my thought was, collectively, you know, he teaches us to pray this. Not necessarily, I don't think he meant every word exactly verbatim as it is, although we're going to say it verbatim as we know it and have said it here, but because of what it really means behind it. So as you pray each line, as you say each segment, I ask that you just let that kind of absorb into your heart what you're actually saying, what you're praying to the Lord. Let it not just be rote kind of memorization of the mind, but let it sink in and be your prayer from your heart. So let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.